I encourage you to open your Bibles to two texts this morning. Proverbs 31 will be a text that you'll probably want to mark because we'll refer to it quite often in the lesson. And then the second text will be 1 Samuel chapter 25. It's a pleasure to see everyone out today. Again, as we usually say for our visitors, we appreciate your presence and we encourage you to come back anytime you have the opportunity. You encourage us, and we pray that the things that will be done this morning will be encouraging to you. It is Mother's Day, and we want to take just a moment to let those of you who are mothers and honorary mothers, grandmothers, know that you are doing a noble thing. The Lord elevates the position of a mother and the role of the woman within His kingdom. And unfortunately, in our kingdom, in the world today, we don't elevate women as much as we should, at least in the godly way. So this morning, we're going to talk about the virtuous woman. Now, I understand as I begin this lesson that there's a credibility problem that I have to face because I'm not a woman. But my mother was a woman. And my wife is a woman. And my three daughters one day will grow up to be women. And even my dog, if my dog were a human being, is a woman. In fact, I'm surrounded by so many women, sometimes I wonder if I'm even a man. We don't elevate in our society, unfortunately, women. And sometimes we can say, well, we can't relate to them, and because I'm a man, I can't speak on it. But the beautiful thing is, the Word of God speaks to us at all occasions. And regardless of whether we can relate specifically, personally to that situation, the Word of God guides us perfectly. And in Proverbs chapter 31, you find the virtuous woman. Jamie read a few moments ago, she's an incredible woman. In fact, she's a very daunting woman as you look at all that she does. And we may be tempted as we read through this text, especially you ladies, there's no way I can live up to this. This is an impossible woman. And yet the wonderful thing about the Word of God also is, the Word of God does not just give us commands, but it gives us examples. And we see that there were people in biblical times who lived up to the standard that God lays down for all men. And that there is a woman, several women, but there is a woman in 1 Samuel chapter 25 who beautifully and wonderfully lives up to the example of the virtuous woman, and that is Abigail. Abigail is a remarkable woman because she comes into the picture just so very briefly. And yet, what a woman she was. And this morning, as we look at Abigail and we talk about the virtuous woman, I want us to look at the characteristics that we find in Abigail that are found in Proverbs chapter 31. And hopefully when this lesson is over, for you ladies who are striving to be godly women, trying to figure out how do I live in a way that pleases the Lord, hopefully you will see someone who did it. And you will say that is a goal that I can attain within my own life. The story of Abigail. Well, let me take just a moment to give you a little history as we begin in 1 Samuel chapter 25. David has been anointed king of Israel, but he is not the king yet, at least not the accepted king. King Saul is still the king of God's people. And Saul understands that David will be king, and Saul is striving to kill David. So at this point, David, as he has for a number of years, is on the run. He has gone down to the land of Edom in the wilderness of Paran, which is south of Israel, south of Judah. Hiding with 600 men who have rallied themselves around him. He is in need of supplies. And as we come to chapter 25, we are introduced in verse 3 to a man by the name of Nabal. We find later that his name means fool, folly. We find in verse 3, in verse 2, that he's a rich man. He has 3,000 sheep and thousands of goats, and he's shearing his sheep in Carmel. And the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail. So Nabal is a man who is rich, and at this point, David is going to appeal to Nabal to help him in this time of need. David needs supplies for his men. And so he's going to send men as emissaries to Nabal to help supply some of the needs that he has. And we'll find out the response in just a moment that Nabal gave. But first of all, verse 3 tells us about Abigail. We find that the husband was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding. And beautiful appearance. A woman of good understanding. What are the characteristics of a virtuous woman? First of all, she is a woman of good understanding. She has her sense about her. What we're talking about here is we talk about a woman of good understanding as someone who is wise when she speaks. Open your Bibles over to Proverbs 31, verse 26. Proverbs 31, verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. When a godly woman speaks, a wise man will pay attention, and he will listen to the counsel that she has because she is an understanding woman. She has an understanding of life and how things work. We're not talking here so much about book sense. We are talking about a woman who has just observed things. And she knows the way things work. You can call them, in a very loose term, street smarts, intuition, perception. But there is something unique that a woman has, and oftentimes a man doesn't have. You know, we talk about women's intuition. Those of you men who have been married to a woman long enough, you realize that's true, don't you? There have been times when maybe after a service, Teresa and I are driving home and she'll say, "Did you think everything's okay with this particular person?" I mean, I'm just a guy. Yeah. Why not? Because I don't know. And sure enough, sometimes I'll talk to the person later and I'll find out. Maybe they're not feeling well. Maybe there's something pressing in mind. Men don't catch those things. But women do. Let's look at a few passages very quickly. 2 Kings chapter 4. In 2 Kings chapter 4, we find Elisha the prophet traveled around quite a bit. And here's just the women's intuition and the woman of good understanding stepping forward. She is a Shunammite woman. Elisha traveled through the area quite often. The Shunammite woman began to take him under her wings, some providing for him. But notice in verse 9, she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand, so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in here." Now, the man didn't think about this, did he? I mean, as far as the man was concerned, Elijah would have just kept sleeping under the stars every night. But the woman is the one who steps forward and says, "You know what, we can do something here." So another example, if you open your Bibles, to back to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 13. And this is just so typical of men and their wives stepping in to bless them with their understanding of things. Here the angel of the Lord appears before Manoah and his wife. Manoah was the father of Samson. He tells them that they're going to have a child, and then Manoah offers a sacrifice. And we find in verse 20, it happened when the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. Then Manoah and his wife saw this. They fell on their faces to the ground. Notice what Manoah, the man, says in verse 22. "We shall surely die because we have seen God." Now the woman steps in with just the great wisdom that a woman has. And she says, "If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time." You know, it made sense, didn't it? And the husband has to think, well, you know, you're right. Yeah, that is right. The angel wouldn't appear to us and told us about the child being born if we were going to die. How many times, you husbands, have you been in that situation where you just sort of assume something and the wife steps in there and says, "No, wait a minute. Think about it." And you go, "Well, okay. You know, you're right." Why? Because she's a woman of good understanding. You want to be a virtuous woman? Be a woman who has wise understanding. This isn't the ditzy girl. You know, for some reason in our society, we have elevated the ditzy person. It has nothing to do with hair color, by the way. But we've elevated that. And so you've got this girl, and oftentimes all the guys are all around her because she's sort of batting her eyes. "Oh, I don't know anything about anything." You know why that appeals to men? Because what she's telling them is, "I'm easy prey. I can't figure my way out of anything, so if you want me, you can just come and get me." And that may attract the attention of a man for a while. But let me tell you something, ladies. What a man wants in the end is a woman that he can respect. A woman who will give him good counsel within his life, because men need it desperately. So if you want to be a virtuous woman, make sure that you follow the example that's found in Proverbs 31. And the example of Abigail, and be one of good understanding. Second of all, as we continue the story in 1 Samuel chapter 25, she was a productive woman. David sends his men to Nabal and requests the supplies that he needs. Nabal, being the fool that he is, quickly says, "There's no way I'm going to give you what you need. Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? In other words, this is not my problem to deal with." David, meanwhile, had been protecting the shepherds of Nabal. And David, when he learns of the response of Nabal, is hot. And David's ready to go and just kill all the men of the house of Nabal. So David draws his swords, tells his men to draw their swords, and they take off. Well, one of the men sends a message to Abigail. And he tells her, indeed, David's men have taken care of us and they protected us. And what does Abigail do? Look in verse 18. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 sheaves of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on a donkey. Now, she didn't have a lot of time to prepare for this. This woman had to hustle. She had to get moving. Why? Because David's on the move. David is heading there to take care of the family of Nabal. So she just jumps in there and she starts producing left and right. That's what a virtuous woman is. Looking again at Proverbs chapter 31, we find that the virtuous woman is a producer within her life. And I want you to think about the fact that as we talk about this, she is a producer for other people. Very little of Proverbs 31 centers around herself. She's not after her own glory. She's not after her self-esteem. That's not what she's driving for within her life. What she is driving for within her life are other people. And it's seen in Proverbs chapter 31 in 3 primary ways. First of all, she is a woman who produces for her home. Look at verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. There are several other passages here and we'll touch upon them. We find she's a woman who works at home. She's a homemaker. Within God's economy of things, the housewife or the homemaker is a very exalted position. And within the Lord's church, brethren, we need to exalt those who decide to be within their lives homemakers. Because homemakers wear a lot of different hats. You ever notice that? I just noticed from watching my mother when I grew up and watching my wife. You're not pigeon-toed as a mother, as a homemaker in one area. I mean, you have to be someone who manages money. You have to be one who knows what is needed within the family at all times. You've got to be the one who goes out and provides goods. You've got to be a nurse. You've got to be a teacher. You've got to be a counselor at times, a psychologist. I mean, you just have to wear a lot of different hats. My grandmother was telling me, the one who just recently passed away, she lived to be 93 years old. She said when she was young, she wanted to be either a teacher or a nurse. She never received formal education, but during the course of her life, she did both of those and many others. There were times when people in the area were sick. They came over to my grandmother's house. She was a nurse. She taught the children. She was a teacher. That's what a housewife does. The home is her sphere of influence. Now, as you look at verses 16 through 18, verse 24, we find that there are other things she can do. It's not saying that she can bring no money in. Verses 16 through 18 says she considers a field and buys it. From her profit, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her hand. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. And then verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them. So it's not that she does nothing to bring money in, that she can't do anything at all, but primarily she works to provide for the home. Second of all, we see that she provides for her family, verses 14 through 15. She provides for her family with food. She is like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night, and she provides food for her household. And then she provides, it is noted within this text, clothing for her family. We see as we look at verse 21, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. Now, occasionally in Israel and in Jerusalem, it snowed. It was cold. This is a woman who takes care of her family, and she doesn't just give them wool clothing. But we are told that it is scarlet. Why scarlet? Well, because she wants her children and her husband to look nice. She is a woman that we would say is classy. She has grace about her. She wants her family to look respectable. Not that they are arrogant and they demand respect for themselves, but she wants them to dress in such a way that other people know that they're children of God. And even with herself, verse 22, she makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Now there again, the purple dye came from Phoenicia, and it was expensive. Here's a woman, she doesn't dress ostentatiously. It's a word I learned from Paul, by the way. Means real fancy. If you're not from around here, it took me a while. I had to look that word up. but she dresses nice. She considers the fact that she is a woman. Not so that other men will lust after her, but that she carries herself with an elegance that is suitable for her role. So she provides for her home. She provides for her family. Third, verse 20, she provides for her community. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. This is a woman who is not only content to be busy at home, she's not only content to be busy with her family, but when she has spare time, she doesn't sit around watching television all day long. She gets busy. She looks out among those who are around her. What's the need? She is a woman today who would cook meals for those who are sick. Send cards out. Go visit. What we find is a woman who is producing in every way. What I hear sometimes from women is, well, I could never be a housewife because I just couldn't sit around at home all day. You are clueless, if that's the case, as to what it means to be a housewife. And I say that with all due respect, but you're clueless. If that's the extent of what you think a housewife is, you have missed the whole picture found within the Word of God. The housewife is one who is always busy, striving to take care of her home, her family, and other people. Far be it from the idea of sitting around all day watching television. She's busy and productive. Third characteristic we see as we look back in 1 Samuel chapter 25 is that she is proactive. A virtuous woman is proactive. When the need is there and her household is threatened, Abigail produces all of these things and she takes action, doesn't it? We do not find that she goes to talk to Nabal first. Nabal, this is a problem I'm going to do something about. No, she just does it. Why? Because there's a need for it to be done. There's a need for her to take action. She's no wallflower. Sometimes we have this idea that the godly woman is just this wallflower, never says anything. She sort of sits back all the time. Not Abigail. And quite honestly, as you start looking through the scriptures, you're going to find a lot of very proactive women who took initiative when initiative was needed. Miriam, Deborah, Judges chapter 4 and 5, Esther. God's desire is not because you're a woman for you never to do anything and just sort of be led all the time like you have no brain of your own. What we find is Abigail was a one who was proactive. Being a woman does not mean that you cannot act on your own. And isn't that what we see in Proverbs chapter 31? Looking again at verses 11 through 12, Proverbs chapter 31. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, so he will lack no gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. What do we find? We find a man who trusts his wife to make good decisions and act upon those decisions. Look at verse 16. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. I would point out here that we are not told she talked to her husband about it. She took the initiative. And he was okay with that. You know why? Because he trusts her. It is permissible for a woman to do this and is allowable because he trusts her actions. He knows that she's not going to do anything that would be inappropriate in her role as a wife. So when she takes initiative and she uses the funds, he doesn't watch her every second. Look, men, when your wife goes to Walmart or the grocery store, you don't have to look over the receipt. You don't have to question now, did you really need this? And I say it because I've done that before. And I had to learn that the woman is the one who is the leader of the household. The man is the one who leads the family, but the home is her domain. You don't have to hold her hand every second. Why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? Allow the woman, if she is a virtuous woman, to take initiative. Allow her to make some decisions as long as it falls within a rim, and don't question that. She is more than able, more than capable to make decisions that need to be made. Male leadership was never intended to smother the initiative of the wife. And it does not threaten your role as the husband to allow your wife, when she's a godly woman who has shown good understanding, to act sometimes with her own initiative. That's what we find here with this virtuous woman, with Abigail. So when your wife shows wisdom and initiative, don't stop her, but praise her because of what she's done. Abigail did. But at the same time, she was also a woman who was submissive. She comes before David, going back to 1 Samuel chapter 25, with all the goods that she has, and what's the first thing that she does? We find in verse 24, she fell at his feet, and she began to reason with him. She fell at his feet. Now here, this is not so much the idea of submission that's involved with the husband. But what it is the idea of humiliation. She humbled herself before David. And she began to talk to David. And it's beautiful the way she handles this situation, because here her wisdom just comes out as she begins to reason with him. And what she's doing is she's reasoning with him, you need to think about what you're about to do. She goes on, she begins to speak in verse 25, please let my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then, let your enemies and those who seek harm for my Lord be as Nabal. And if you move over to verse 31, that this will be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. So she comes before him, she humbles herself before him, and she just reasons with him. But primarily, I want us to notice she was submissive to her husband, Nabal the fool. She returns back home after she was successful in her mission. And we find, as we look in verse 36, Abigail went to Nabal. And there he was, holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was drunk. Therefore she told him nothing, little or much, until the morning light. So she comes home, and he's just drunk. He's a drunken fool, does not understand that he is 1 foot away from death at the moment. He's just living it up. But what does she do in the next verse? Verse 37, so it was in the morning, when the wine had gone from Nabal, and his wife had told him these things. She talked to him. She explained to him the action she had taken, the initiative she had shown. Why? You know, if any woman had a right to be insubordinate to her husband, she wouldn't have been the one, right? But this guy was just a drunken fool. He didn't meet her halfway, but he was her husband, wasn't he? He was the one who was the head of the family. And Abigail, though he was a fool, understood that her role as a wife was to be his helper. Her role as a wife was to counsel him, but her role as a wife was also, as the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, 22 through 24, to submit herself before him. And she does. She has no problem bowing herself down and going to him as a helpmate, because he is the head, and she submits to him. Look back in Proverbs chapter 31. What does the proverb writer tell us about the submission of this woman? Verse 12. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She is constantly thinking about her husband and her relationship to him. And then in verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. His elevation is her elevation. She is not seeking her own. She is not envious of the fact that the elders look up to him, because she is submitting and she understands that what brings glory and honor to him brings glory and honor to herself. So here we find that if your desire is to be a virtuous wife within your life, not only do you need within your life to be someone of good understanding, someone who is productive and proactive, but also one who is submissive. Last characteristic that I want to mention is that she was a believer in God. Looking back again at 1 Samuel chapter 25, as she speaks to David, notice how easily the name of God flows from her lips continually throughout the text. In fact, as you count, between verses 25 and verse 31, we find that she uses the name of the Lord no less than 9 different times. Beginning in verse 25, now therefore, as the Lord lives, beginning in verse 28, please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord. And then she concludes in verse 31 by speaking of, but when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord. Everything about her is God. What motivates her to be the woman that she needs to be? What motivates her is her relationship to God. And she is deeply concerned at all times about her relationship. If you want to be a virtuous woman today, then be someone who is first and foremost a believer. Why was she understanding? Because of God. Why was she productive? Because of God. Why was she proactive? Because of God. Why was she submissive? Because of God. Why not be distant? Because God didn't want that. Why not throw off the shackles of womanhood and be independent and stand equal with them? Because God didn't want that. Everything about this woman is about her relationship with God. And if you have this characteristic, ladies, everything else is going to fall into place. Everything. Notice back again in Proverbs chapter 31. Verse 30. Proverbs 31, verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but notice this. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That's where it all begins. That's the seed. And if you plant that seed within your life, then during the course of your life, these characteristics that are found in this woman will begin to grow more and more every day. Last point. What are the results of all these characteristics? Why should a woman strive to be this type of woman? Well, there are two things found in Proverbs chapter 31. First of all, she had the admiration of her husband. Look, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 29. The husband, we find in verse 28, praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. You excel them all. Here is a man who is utterly amazed at his wife. And if you move back to 1 Samuel chapter 25, you see that that's what David was. As he thought about the counsel that Abigail gave him, and you say, well, you know, but he wasn't her husband. Well, not yet. Once she told Nabal what she had done, he falls over and he eventually dies. David sent for her. Do you know why? Because he understood what a gem she was. When she expressed her wisdom, notice in verse 32 what David said. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel who has sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice and blessed are you because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my hand. Isn't that what we find? Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. What's the result of these characteristics being found within your life? You're going to have the admiration of the man that you should admire more than any other man. And that is your husband. But we also find, looking at Proverbs chapter 31, verse 28, she has the admiration of her children. We don't know what children Abigail had at this point. But look at Proverbs chapter 31, verse 28. Here's a woman who's just always given herself to her family. And you as women understand when you have served as a mother that there are times when you feel pretty underappreciated. Her children rise up and call her blessed. It takes wisdom and age sometimes for children to really realize what all their mothers have done for them and to show that appreciation. I found this story called The Devoted Mother. The young mother set her foot on the path of life. Is the way long, she asked, and her guide said yes, and the way is hard, and you will be old before you reach the end of it, but the end will be better than the beginning. But the young mother was happy, and she could not believe that anything could be better than these years. So she played with her children and gathered flowers for them along the way, and she bathed with them in the clear streams, and the sun shone on them, and the life was good, and the young mother cried, nothing could be lovelier than this. Then night came and the storm and the path was dark and the children shook with fear and cold and the mother drew them close and covered them with her mantle. And the children said, oh mother, we're not afraid for you are near and no harm can come. And the mother said, this is better than the brightness of day for I've taught my children courage. The morning came and there's a hill ahead and the children climbed and they grew weary and the mother was weary. But at all times she said to the children, a little patience and we'll be there. So the children climbed, and when she reached the top, they said, we could not have done it without you, mother. And the mother, when she lay down that night, looked up at the stars and said, this is the better day than the last, for my children have learned strength in the face of hardness. Yesterday I gave them courage. Today I've given them strength. The next day came strange clouds which darkened the earth, clouds of war and hate and evil. And the children groped. They stumbled. And the mother said, look up. Lift your eyes to the light. And the children looked and saw above the clouds an everlasting glory, and it guided them and brought them beyond the darkness. And that night, mother talked to Jesus and said, this is the best of all, for I have shown my children God. And the days went on, and the weeks, and the months, and the years. And the mother grew old, and she was little and bent. But the children were tall and strong, and they walked with faith and courage. And when the way was rough, they lifted her, for she was as light as a feather. And at last they came to a hill, and beyond the hill they could see a shining road and gates flung wide. And the mother said, I've reached the end of my journey, and now I know that the end is better than the beginning. For I brought my children to walk with God. And the children said, you will always be with us, mother, even when you've gone through the gates to the Savior. And they stood and they watched her as she went alone, and the gates closed behind her. And they said, we cannot see her, but she is still with us. A mother like ours is more than a memory. She is a living presence. The children rise and call her blessed. The world will not honor you for the job that you fulfill within your life as a godly woman. But never doubt the fact that others will. So ladies, as you think about this lesson, ask yourself, is this the kind of woman that you're striving to be today? Are you striving to be a woman who is wise, a woman who is productive, proactive when the need is there, submissive at all times to the wants and desires of your husband, and a woman who is a believer first and foremost? It's a difficult standard to live up to. Certainly it is. Is it impossible? Abigail says no. And as long as the Word of God is here, Abigail and her example will always tell you that if you desire to be this type of woman, you can give yourself over to God, and He will make you into that when you submit to His will. And let me say something very quickly to the men of the congregation. We are so often unaware of what's going on around us. Let us take the time, if you are married to a virtuous woman, and many of us are blessed to be so, to praise them and let them know how much we deeply appreciate what they've done and what they continue to do. And for you young men of the congregation, you are going to be tempted to look for shape over substance. But do not give yourself over to that temptation, because I tell you this, if you do, you will find yourself in a few years who does not have the shape that you thought she had initially. By the way, you don't either. And while she batted her eyes at one point and just acted as ditzy as she could be, you're going to find over the years that you really wanted someone who could help you as you take on the awesome task of leading a family. So, ladies, strive to be this type of woman. Men, if you're married to one like this, praise her. If you're not, encourage her gently to grow. And young men, as you're striving to look for the woman to marry, this is the one. This is the one that you look for. One that you will love through all eternity because of who she is. Let's take a moment, just go to God in prayer. Holy Father in heaven, Your Word guides us at all times, and Your Word has told us about the woman that You respect and You admire, and the woman that You would have Your children to be. And Father, we pray that, as with all things found within Your Word, that we'll consider it and we'll think about how we can be more pleasing to You. We have so many wonderful women here, so many wonderful young women who are growing and trying to figure out who they are within their life and how they need to be. May we remember that You have not left us hopeless, You have not left us in the dark. But You provide this wonderful example in Proverbs 31 of the woman, an example of how that woman was lived in Abigail. And may we always be grateful for such examples. And Father, we pray that we will always appreciate the role that a woman serves and honor her and let her know that she is indeed a gift from You. And we are appreciative of it. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen. Well, for you ladies, next month as we get close to Father's Day, we'll have a lesson for the men. So you weren't being singled out here. But Mother's Day is here, and these thoughts were here, and so I pray that you've gotten something out of it. We haven't talked about what you need to do to become a Christian, but perhaps as you've listened to this woman Abigail and you've considered your own life, maybe you realize that you have not been the believer that you need to be. And you want to make that change so that you can be the woman that God wants you to be. Or if you're a man, you want to start leading the right example. And so if this morning you're willing to become a Christian and you're willing to come forward and confess the name of Christ before other people based upon your faith, and you're willing to repent of your sins, then we stand ready to baptize you. That's what took place in Acts chapter 2. When the people on the day of Pentecost were present and Peter preached to them, The people were touched in their hearts, and they asked what they needed to do. And Peter told them to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That same promise is here today. And you have the ability this morning to come forward and be baptized and have your sins washed away. If you're a child of God and you desire the prayers of the congregation for any reason, then we stand ready to help you there too. If you'll come, while we stand.